Hello, everybody. Mariner here. How are you doing? And welcome to Net That Hall for Game Week 23. Feels like a while since I've been on, Gabe. How are you doing?
It does feel like a while since you've been on. How am I doing? That's a confusing question these times. Here's how I'm feeling this morning, Mariner. I feel like we just went through a barrage of FPL game weeks. And it was like being battered over the head, all these cancellations and suspensions and so on and so forth. And now this past game week, because is like the drip torture, the water torture. It's like been drying out, and I can't get my bearings. It's tough.
FPL water torture.
FPL
water. Yeah, I think that's probably got a bit of a ring to it. Certainly for Rubber Ducky, he was feeling a bit, a little bit deflated.
The trick is to turn the FPL water torture into the FPL beach. So that's what we're going to do here today on
NetThatHall. I think that's a very good idea. For anybody who's struggling with FPL, just join Gabe like he did last season on the beach and just enjoy yourself. Because quite frankly, I don't think anybody entirely knows what the hell is going on. Are both games actually going ahead tonight? I don't even know that yet. I presume they must be. I've not heard. I've seen there's been a few piss takes going on with people putting old postponements up on Twitter and things, which always makes me chuckle. But no, yeah, it's very difficult to try and judge anything, isn't it? And you free-hitted, right?
I did.
How
did it go?
So
again,
far.
I mean, awful. It's a shit free-hit. That's the being perfectly honest. I mean, my roomie pick, Lamptey, didn't start in the first match. Everyone's blanking except for one player, and this is what's making the free hit right now is the fact that I wouldn't have Bruno in my team if I hadn't free hit, and he's my captain. So that's the only thing that's saving the free hit. It's the only thing. Well, you know, I have that to rest my head on, but it was a free hit that just saved me. It didn't help me, I guess.
Well, at least you're not holding me long cock. And you haven't been, you haven't been hacked.
Can you provide some context for the people that are about to switch off the show right now?
Well, holding me long cock is what the hackers have been transferring these players in to the team, basically, haven't they? And I never thought of that one. And once again, we are in a situation where there are people taking how many hits? Hundreds and hundreds of hits on people's teams, ruining people's FPL teams, ruining people's FPL careers, even, for crying out loud. I have to say, I reckon I've changed my password 6 times this year now. Honestly, I am mortified for these people who are getting hacked. As far as I'm concerned, FPL, get your fingers out of your ass and sort this out once and for all. It's not rocket science, boys. All you've got to do is put some proper authentication in as part of, like we have in other things. Now, if this means that we only have one team or people only have one team, so be it. You're only supposed to have one team, right?
Yeah.
And you can't have two phones. Oh, I can't have two teams because I haven't got two phones. I don't care. You're not supposed to have two teams. Just give us two-factor authorization and sort this out once and for all, FPL. I'm very sorry, but it makes me so blasted angry.
You could also have a safety net, right? Like a control Z, that thing, you know, just undo.
Or it sends a warning when you send it. You're about to send is this you?
Mm-hmm.
Is this you?
It's not a complicated problem, is it?
It's not bloody complicated. They just need to sort themselves out. Anyway, that's my rant for now. There might be a bit more of a rant later on, although I don't think I need to rant, really, because I'm probably one of the few people who's actually doing all right out of this chaos. So I suppose we better do the Min League, don't we?
Let's do it.
We'll do the Min League, then we'll say hello to a few people. So there we go. That's the Min League, where we are now. Gabe, do you want to do it this week?
Yeah. So FPL Milanista, Obai, wow, look at that. He jumps up into first place with a game week score so far of 80 points. over OR of 143. It's incredible. Our friend Brad Curry, Pfizer Chiefs, drops down to second place. His game week score for reference here is 45. So quite a big difference there, 35 points difference between Obi and Brad. His OR is 171. Third place, no scout, no glory, Ryan Quinn with a 47 this week. His OR is 345. We'll just do the top three, right, Mariner?
You can do it if you want. You can go a bit further down if you like.
No, I mean, this is amazing. You, Mariner, you are OR 354. Have you ever been this high?
No, I've got a nosebleed. I'm second in Singapore as well.
Second in Singapore in the whole country, but still fourth in Net That Hall Mini League. So keep climbing, bud. Keep climbing. We are rooting for you.
I've just joined a load of leagues. I've just joined, got the assist and a few others to try and win some money.
I don't think WGTA does do the prize
now. I thought they had some money from Scout this year.
I don't know.
Sorry, from Hub. Anyway, no, I don't know. Anyway.
I'll round out the rest of them here.
Keep going, yeah.
The Kong FPL Planner in fifth place at OR of 402. Template FC in sixth. They're at 442 OR. Payne and Diaz, they're at 469.
Great team name. I like that one.
Yeah.
Good one, Ross. I like that.
Tierney's Tesco Bag, OR 536. Tom Robinson in eighth place. Lundstrom Goat, OR 916. In ninth place and in 10th place, Eleanor, 1.1K.
So there we go. So we've got nine people in the top 1,000 in the world in our league. It's pretty good, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have to say. No, really good. And I think, look, the key thing there, the people like myself, our Captain Fernandez. I brought him in. People say it's luck. It is. There is a heck of a lot of luck involved in things like that. But I did have just that tiny bit of method in my madness.
Mm.
And it was, I thought Ronaldo's minutes might be affected. And if Ronaldo's minutes were affected, it could benefit Bruno. And that was the only thing I thought about. Nothing more.
Mm.
And then I hid. Because I thought I could get destroyed if it goes wrong. And of course it didn't.
So I was in a position where I only had one free transfer. So it would have been unlikely that I brought in Bruno, right? Just given my situation.
Yeah.
On that topic of luck, a lot of people are lamenting because they didn't bring in Bruno. Why would you bring in Bruno? He hadn't shown much. Ronaldo had kind of sapped his productivity. Our good friend, FPL Obsessed, Matt, he wrote a great thread on luck.
He did. I read that, yeah.
Can I read it really quickly? It's not long.
Yeah, of course.
So think about managers who gave Bruno Fernandes the armband in Game Week 22. Imagine three different, parentheses, hypothetical managers who think about how much luck you would attribute to their 28-point haul. Manager A was in a huge rush making his transfers last minute on his phone while boarding a busy train. His intended transfer was Madison, but he accidentally transferred in Bruno and captained him without realizing. Manager B. This manager already owned Bruno. She really wanted to transfer Bruno out for Ronaldo, but could do it in two moves, but had other fires to put out. She decided instead to strengthen her bench and reluctantly put the armband on Bruno. Manager C. Needed to get rid of Son, injured, and was looking for suitable replacements who were featuring in a double game week. After being underwhelmed by the options, poor underlying stats, poor recent form, or poor fixtures, decided that Bruno was probably the best pick of a bad lot and took a punt. All three managers captained Bruno and were therefore subject to the same luck, but I would argue that manager A was much more fortunate than manager C, and that manager B was somewhere in between. I think we can all agree that luck is ever present in FPL, but a lot depends on the decision-making processes behind every move. It then gets really tricky here because none of us actually agree on the correct way to play and so on and so forth. But I think this goes to show that luck does not exist in an event. Luck exists in our own personal situations and their relations to the events that happen. If we're looking at that logically, there's one factor, right, that could bring in the luck, and that's our minds. We make it up. Luck is a construct of our own imaginations. So if we make it up, hold on, let me just finish this point. If we make it up, it's up to us to perceive something as good luck, bad luck, Or maybe we don't have enough information to know whether it was good luck or bad luck yet.
No.
Right.
And just to let you know, I mean, the transfers I made, I was, of course, the deadline here on a, well, it's a Friday night deadline, it's like 2:30 in the morning on Saturday morning here. So I was like hanging on and I fell asleep. And I'd made the transfer and I had half thought to myself, if I wake up, will I take a hit and bring Ronaldo in? And I slept through it. So I hadn't even, I'd still, even in my mind, I was pretty set on it, but I'd still got that FOMO of Ronaldo, I have to say. I would have brought Kane in, actually. If I'd known Kane had had the double game week, I'd have brought him in as well. That would have been another choice. I could have brought them both in, quite frankly. Anyway, Gabe, let's say hello to a few people. Who have we got in as well?
Yeah, so first and foremost, Nehal, we have Nehal in here. He was not the first one in. I'll get to that in a second. Nehal says that there might be a lag in the stream. So if you are also suffering from lag, let us know. But so far, I think it's just isolated to Nehal's case. But first in this morning, Rubber Ducky, thanks for being here, my friend. hope we can provide some happiness for you this morning. Who else we got in here? We got Javed Khan, nice to see you. Ramanathan, he's in as usual. Blue Danube guy, pronounced correctly this morning.
Yes, Ignatius absolutely.
Ignatius Brian Laksana, nice to see you, my FBL friend. LFC Bear, nice to see you, welcome. Who else is in here? Zach, Absurdologist. Robin Popplewell, hello, yo dudes. Kieran Turner, I think you've heard that name.
Yep.
The heir.
Recovered from his COVID bout, yeah.
Yep,
well, Mariner's heir. Get back to work.
Get back to work. Nasu, he's saying preach. Hi, Nasu. Sankar, hello. Good morning. Good afternoon. Dred is on. It's good to see you.
Oh, good. He's left the wire. Good old Dred.
Yeah, welcome, Dred.
Did Nima cut the stream off?
We sent Nima to the wire to cut the wire. FPL Penguins joining us in here as well. Afternoon, Penguin. Sujit Bana, hello. Who else? I think Nehal, we said. Akib, our good friend Akib.
Yeah.
Jamie. And Jamie Baker.
Jamie Baker, where the hell have you been, young man?
I know, right? Jamie's in the house. Welcome, nice to see back, him. And Jamie. Eddie. Eddie is in here. Good evening to you, my friend.
Excellent. And Akib wants, we want FA. What does FA stand for, Akib?
Fuck off.
Sweet FA.
Sweet FA.
On that point, Gabe, I think we better get on with things. Let's have a look at your philosophy of the week, and then we'll dive into the numbers.
Right. So this morning's philosophy, let me bring up my notes so I know what I'm talking about. So in honor of AFCON, I've selected a Cameroonian philosopher, post-colonial scholar, and political theorist. His name is Joseph Achille Mbembe, more commonly known as Achille Mbembe. And the quote is, "Order has to allow in itself a space for its own contestation." And so basically what I gleaned from this is we compile our stats and observations, right? We build our models and our narratives based on these stats and observations. But if we don't allow room or indeed force an opposition to our perspectives, our thinking becomes dogma, which is the opposite of thought, really. When we talk about dogma, we ask for people and indeed ourselves to believe in things without prior thought. That's what faith is all about, right? You start with a belief and then you can think about it later. But in FPL, it can't be that way, right? Our thinking cannot turn into dogma. We must keep our thinking fresh by constantly opposing it, keep it free from stagnancy. And in the past, we've spoken about Hegel, right? And having opposing ideas coming together, thesis, antithesis, synthesis. This is different. What I mean for this is that we must contest our own thinking ourselves. A lot of the time, we must question the things that we just assume to be true in our reasoning.
I'm lost for words. I don't understand half of that.
Sankar, he says, "I read Mbembe as Mbomo." God.
Yeah, I was actually wondering when you're going to ask me to read his bloody name out.
You should.
You know, I'll get it wrong. We must constantly keep our thinking fresh. Yes, I like that. I like that idea. We do. And at the moment, we are in a situation where we've gone away from the Sala perma captain to now having some thought about captaincy. So for me, that's one of the most exciting things about it. I know it's still bloody chaos, and I know it's so difficult to try. But I think for the next 2 or 3 weeks, I think we've got the opportunity to have a go at it. I think particularly if you're chasing, I think the next 2 or 3 weeks could be quite interesting. I think it's much more difficult to hold rank in the next 2 or 3 weeks. Potentially as well. You could, although everybody could gain. You know, of course, we've still not got to see what happens tonight, right? With things. But yeah, I mean, stats and observations, we build our models. But the thing is, and this is the thing which bothers me, and I say this about work as well, people build their own narratives, and then they get the narrative, and then they go backwards. It should be the other way around. Don't start with the answer and then try and find the data to support it. Do it the other way around. And honestly, I see it all the time. It drives me bloody crazy. But
that's a philosophical fallacy called begging the question.
Yes.
Yeah. Fallacy in terms of something erroneous, not something sexual.
Well, that's erogenous, isn't it?
That's erogenous. Something erroneous, not erogenous. What's this show about again?
Exactly. Lost the terrible. You know, it's normal. There's always double entendres in this show. Right? You should get used to it with me on it anyway. But all right, look, we've done that bit. So that's great, Gabe. So now let's have a look at fixture difficulty through to game week 28. I've done it differently. And I started to do this last week with the zonal matchups. And what I've decided to do now with fixture difficulty, because there's blanks and gaps now, and some teams will play more than others, I've added it up over a period. So basically now what we're looking at is, if you look on the right-hand side, guys, for those who are watching, you'll see we've got fixture difficulty to game week 28 for attack, defence and average. And what you'll see there is that attack-wise, Liverpool and City stand out. So if you know the way the matchups work, 0-7. So what we'll do is just added them all up here. 17 and just, these are arbitrary numbers, really, but 17 and 15.9. Then look, Spurs, nearly half that, 8.9. Then Arsenal, even with two blanks, are 7.9. So Arsenal have some really good matchups intermingled between gaps. Now, Gabe, does that lend itself to a Martinelli, a cheaper Arsenal option who you could probably throw onto the bench during this period? Because I look at that and I see points, quite frankly. But does it also, and this is a second question, so I'll let you come in twice here and answer both at the same time. Does this just cement the fact that pick good players from good teams?
Okay, two very different questions there.
I'll start with fire them out both at once. I'm not bothered. Let's go.
All right, we'll start with Arsenal. You know, I own Martinelli, right? And I think Martinelli, given his price, is a great option. But there's also a lot of competition for these midfield spots, right? Rafinha that leads fixtures are turning, and Rafinha is almost unavoidable now, right? We have Bowen, who's also unavoidable. I don't see anybody getting rid of Jota. Salah's coming back. And then we have, that's four kind of template midfielders. The fifth one, I think, is, it could be Martinelli for some people. It could be Odegaard for other people. It's a tough one. I have considered selling Martinelli for some of these emerging assets, but not because he's a bad asset to own, if that makes sense. So I think he's a good budget one, given the fixtures, like you said. Now, to your other question, I think that's really interesting because it's, you know, we talked about how the game is getting complicated because of all the external forces at play in terms of our decision-making. And when you add your FDR up like this, it kind of slaps us back into keep it simple, stupid. You know, just look, pick good players from the good teams. We have Liverpool and Man City with by far more than, you know, in the next six game weeks with by far the best attacking schedule. So get attackers from Liverpool and Man City. Like, it's not complicated.
That's the point I'm making. It's not rocket science, is it?
And then that answers that fifth midfielder spot that we were that I was mentioning within the Arsenal conversation. Surely that fifth midfielder spot has to be a Manchester City player.
I mean, look, I look at it in a slightly different way. And of course, what we don't know here, and there's a question in the chat from Sanka, and I'll put it on the screen actually. He's saying it's hard to agree that Aston Villa is minus 2.5 attack with those in capitals fixtures and with Coutinho and Dean. I don't disagree with you, but this is data from the last six games and the start of and from the season. So these are just numbers. You have to look at them in context. Now, are Aston Villa improving? Yes, they are. But they're improving from a pretty low bar. So it takes time for this to come. Now, do Aston Villa have good fixtures? Well, you know, Everton away. Now, is that quite as easy as it was? We'll come on to that in a minute. Leeds at home looks good. Newcastle, Watford, like it. Brighton's not easy at all. And then Southampton. Now, if they don't, but when you look at Leeds, Newcastle and Watford there, and you see Aston Villa in a negative situation with respect to attacking, with respect to numbers, I tell you what, that says to me that they have struggled. And I checked it out, and they actually have. Their numbers are really, really quite low. And it takes time for this. So look, is Coutinho potentially a great option? Yes. Is Watkins a great option? Yes. Will I be bringing in a Villa player or more than one Villa player if they double? The answer is yes. But this is the way the fixtures work. So we just have, all it is a case of, as I always say to people with this, you know, sometimes I look at numbers, but I also, you've got to look at the context behind it, Gabe, right? Very important too.
Yeah. Very important. And it's good to ask questions like that of the numbers. Absolutely. when they don't make sense in your head. And then we find the reason. The one thing I will say about that comment and question though is we haven't even seen one full match with Coutinho. Let's hold our horses a little bit with a player that hasn't even played one full match and that hasn't really been lighting it up for a long time. So everyone's
like
very excited.
I do like him though.
I like him as well. He's like, you know, you watch him play, he's super creative. He looks like he's 15 and 45 somehow at the same time. It's really bizarre. I enjoy watching the guy, but he hasn't even played a full match. I mean, Ings and Watkins just seemingly can't play together still. So, I mean, I'll be going in on Villa as well. I own Watkins. But I might not go in on Coutinho. I may go safer with Jacob Ramsey, something like that. I just say keep your mind open with Villa. Definitely, we're going to want to bring their players in. But which players you bring in, just keep your mind open.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Leeds as well, and you see a slight, very fairly low number there as well. But then you think about it, and you think, well, look, Rafinha's in form. You also think that Bamford is on his way back, or very soon to be back, which no doubt I think will help Rafinha. Now, although whether he'd be still on penalties or not remains to be seen, if that's the case. I think Bamford was on pens last year, wasn't he? From memory.
Yeah.
But in any case, you know, Leeds, Newcastle, Villa, you know, they could double as well, couldn't they? So, I mean, the same things again. We haven't got the double fixtures sat in here, have we? Because they're not there yet.
Right.
So that would change these numbers as well. That again. So what we will do is if this changes between now and the deadline, we'll upgrade it and put it on Twitter. Like I did the captaincy metric last week. I posted it on Twitter when things changed. Defence-wise, Gabe, it's much lower, look, the numbers. Still suggest attack over defence, to be honest. City, standout, 11.5. If that doesn't tell me to double up on City, nothing does in defence. But I already am I already am doubled up, and I've got Diaz and I've got Cancelo. But realistically, is Laporte now the man?
You're not going to go Diaz to Laporte, are you?
No, I'm not. But I'm saying, if you were bringing one in, would you now bring Laporte in?
I would bring Laporte in. I think the savings is worth it. And if we were wildcarding, I think Akib mentioned the only solution now after all this information is to wildcard. We'll see about that. But if we were wildcarding, certainly Laporte over Diaz.
I mean, you could wildcard, but I mean, the thing is, if you were to wildcard, what would you do? Who would you bring in? Well, you'd probably treble up on Villa, because look at the fixtures. You'd probably treble up on City, but you're risking COVID still, aren't you, when you're trebling up on teams? But the risk, it depends if you've got two free hits. If you've got two free hits, you could probably do it. But well, like for me, I've only got one free hit, so I'm a bit more worried about wildcarding. So I'm thinking about playing a little bit of a more of a longer game and trying to. I know I'm going to take some pain 1 week. I've got to decide which week I take the pain, because I've already gained right from my wildcard in game week 9. From a free hit in game week 19.
Yeah.
So yeah. I mean, it comes down to your own position, but I wouldn't be objectionable. If you know, it may be if the double game weeks start to show themselves, it may be that a wildcard could be a really smart move. But then you've got to plan your way through the rest, right? You've got a long way to go, long way.
And the flip side of that is you have a long way to maximize that wild card as well. You're kind of getting in before everybody else. And there are some obvious moves. I tinkered with a wild card the other day. And there are some obvious moves like that I would make. There's certainly like goalkeeper moves and kind of seemingly sideways moves like Diaz to Laporte kind of moves, stuff like that, just to strengthen overall.
Which you wouldn't normally do. The moves that you wouldn't normally play in a normal circumstance. Yeah, you wouldn't, I mean, God help us if anybody still owns Brownhill, but you wouldn't do a Brownhill to Ramsey move unless you, do you know what I mean?
I see that differently. Brownhill to Ramsey is a huge upgrade.
He is, but the fact is you've probably got other fires. You've got to get through probably other fires before you get to that one is what I'm getting at. How long have we, I've still got bloody Livramento sat rotting.
That's
He will rot.
He'll
be fit again before I catch a chance to get rid of him.
Brownhill to Ramsey brings you a potential double game week player and a serious upgrade, and it's not a big investment. So I don't know, that move in particular I see a little bit differently than the rest of the moves. But the point is right on.
Just looking at the other defense then. So we've got City at 11.5, Arsenal with their blanks 7.6. So again, you know, not terrible. Brighton with a blank 7.5. So, and then Liverpool. So, you know, again, I still wouldn't necessarily fall over myself with, you know, worrying about Brighton. They've got some good fixtures coming up, far as I'm concerned. I still quite like Brighton defensively. And we've already mentioned about Villa, haven't we? But that just gives you a rough idea, guys. So, you know, if you're listening to it, then do come to the show and have a look at these graphics, because I think it is important to get the context of it. Let's keep going. So now what we're going to do is we're going to look at the actual matchups for the week. And you said to me, take Saka off, or take Martinelli off and put Saka on. I checked and I thought, I think Saka's still flagged or still injured. He's still doubtful, according to Premier Injuries, according to Ben Dinnery. So I think he's a late fitness test. They've got the game this week, haven't they, in the cup? Is it tonight or tomorrow? I can't remember. But I know they've got the cup game against Liverpool, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when they play that, we'll probably, if that's the case, and please correct me if I'm bloody wrong, because I don't know what time of the week it is at the moment across here. If Saka is or was available, I think I'd probably put him up. But I quite like Martinelli. And interestingly enough, Hub have him as the highest potential point scorer this week.
Martinelli?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. They really like him.
That's interesting, because if memory serves, I'll bring up my table here really quickly. But if memory serves, Burnley are more susceptible down their left. They're more vulnerable down their left-hand side.
We've got those numbers in a bit, so we can cover them in a bit if you like. But yeah, I think it was one of those ones which you look at and you go, I'm quite interested because, of course, I've sold him. I had him and I've sold him now.
Yeah. I mean, you sold Martinelli?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I did. Yeah, a while ago. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I have Martinelli. Happy to play him this game week. Burnley have conceded 87 chances from their left-hand side this season, which is indeed the most, more than any other team. We have Leicester and West Ham each with 83 and Norwich with 82. So I like the right side for Arsenal. With Saka out, who do you think would play on that side?
We need an Arsenal. We've got some Arsenal fans in. Come on. Would he pull it out there,
Arsenal fans, if you're an Arsenal fan, or if you know, just let us know who you think is going to play on that right side.
But Arsenal have the best matchup. 2.7. Okay. So very solid matchup this week against Burnley.
And we talked about this, Mariner, yesterday, that this is kind of like, this might come as a surprise to people, but this is kind of like the best case scenario of the home away fixture. Arsenal are great at home, not very good away. Burnley are decent at home, terrible away. So it's Arsenal home, Burnley away. And that kind of just matches up. If we're talking about matchups here, that home away matchup is really tasty for Arsenal this week.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there's tons of flag. That's the only thing with Arsenal. Lacazette as well is probably not that. I don't think anybody will own him now, but I owned him for a few weeks and did all right of him. Manchester City second, 2.4 away at Southampton. Nice fixture. I really like that, quite honest. And we'll come on to City in a minute, because my question here, Gabe, is, I am contemplating, I'll tell you exactly what I'm looking at doing. I've already put it on Twitter. I think most people, if anybody follows me on Twitter, they'll already seen what I've been saying for the last 24 hours or so. I'm very tempted to go from Bruno to KDB for about 2 or 3 weeks this week. I don't care what he does tonight. Just move. I think KDB is a potentially excellent captain choice for the next few weeks. And I think from that basis, looking at the other City assets, if money's no object, KDB is the very, very obvious choice.
What do you have money to bring Salah in?
I've still got the money to just move back up. But I'll probably lose KDB when I go back to Salah. That's probably what I'm probably going to do. And then,
but that's in 24, right? So you'll bring KDB.
No. I'll probably leave it. I'll probably wait. So I think Salah may well. You know, whenever he comes back, I'm not entirely sure he's going to come straight back in. And I still think KDB might do all right in comparison against him. The fixtures are just quite good, right?
So you're going to go KDB over Salah for a week or two.
Yeah, possibly for a couple of weeks. Yeah, possibly.
That's bold. I might go with both.
Yeah, I could do, but I'd have to take a hit probably to do it. And then I'd change that double premium again, which I haven't had for a while. So I'd have to do a little bit more surgery. But looking at the numbers, Gabe, and this is interesting because KDB at the moment is only about 5% rotated in the last six. He's got a 0.66 expected involvement per 90, 5.7 expected points. Okay, so pretty good, right? Mm-hmm. The only person who is as nailed as KDB is Bernardo, but his numbers have gone off a cliff.
Right.
Really off a cliff. Okay. Expected points 3.8, 0.32 expected involvement. The player who is running KDB a close second, and it's extremely close, I think, is Sterling. 6.7 expected points per 90, but he's been rotated more. But his expected involvement is 0.83 per 90. It's good. He gets volume. He gets a lot of chances. KDB maybe doesn't need them, but he does what he does. He maybe doesn't do quite as much, but he does it better. Whereas Sterling, you know, he's involved a lot at the moment, right? So I think if I was looking at this City conundrum, and I will call it a conundrum, if you've got the money, KDB. If you haven't got the money for KDB and you can afford Sterling, because I'm not convinced that Foden's a captain option. That's me.
I'm not convinced Sterling will play.
It's possible.
I could see Sterling easily.
KDB is going to play though.
Yeah, much more than Sterling. Much more than Sterling. Yeah. Just going back really quickly to the idea of not bringing Salah in right away. You know, you're foregoing Leicester's their first matchup, one of the worst defenses in the league. Then they play Burnley in 25, right? Then in 26 they play Norwich. Leicester, Burnley, Norwich. Like you can't not have Salah.
He'll definitely be back in for the Norwich game because that's looking like.
But I think even before that, like
captaincy material. So maybe 25. I'll assess it as he gets back. We'll see what happens.
I mean, for
worry about it.
I don't know. I think for those thinking about Salah, it's like when Trent went down and people sold him, and then they couldn't bring him back in. I think he's playing the three worst defenses in the league. I could only get any better if he played United in that span as well. I don't think you can go without Salah. I think as soon as he's back, he has to be in your team.
I am not ruling it out. I'm not ruling it out because he could come back. He could be substituted. You know, he could come back in. He could be substituted. Maybe on the bench for one game, possibly. Or, you know, could easily come off and still cause some trouble.
Yeah,
as usual.
And his ownership will be high. And his price will be going up.
His ownership's dropped a bit, right? Is everyone going to come back, launch back on him straight away? Yes. Let's see. Yes, they probably will.
They probably will.
But I still think for the next couple of weeks, KDB, it's just a shift up. I think Bruno against West Ham, it's not a great matchup, as you can see. 0.5, right? Mm-hmm. It's not captaincy material for me next week. Mm-hmm. I need a captain. KDB.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's where I'm going. Okay, so that's that side of it. Just on the other stuff, Leeds, 1.5, third. Finally, Leeds are starting to show a little bit. Uh-huh. But it was against Newcastle. So I think it's more Newcastle being bad than Leeds good.
Yeah. In general, yeah. I mean, I think you're right. Leeds have obviously struggled. They showed a lot. You know, just in the last game, they showed their spirit and what they can do. They need players healthy. But I think Rafinha is as obvious a pick as De Bruyne.
I like Rafinha this week. The only thing is I think if he doubles, then it's certainly worth looking at it.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't, I'll probably just stick with Bowen and Jota and just leave it like that. I think there's probably more things to look at. Hmm. Liverpool and Palace. Liverpool's 1.4. Palace is 1.2. Potentially goals there. Not quite sure. I see a clean sheet for Liverpool down at Palace this year.
Yeah, I mean, Selhurst Park is a difficult place to play this year, and Palace has been creating really from nothing. Well, although that goal against Brighton was a thing of beauty. That was a nice team goal.
The other thing I want to bring up, and I'd really like to know your views on this one. As a double Everton owner, and that really has that. Whilst I've done quite well in the last few weeks, I'll tell you what, that Everton move really stung me. Mm. Calvert-Lewin missing that bloody penalty and owning Gray as well. And then getting, you know, supposedly having two double game weeks, then we won.
You got pricked.
Crying out loud.
But you got pricked by Gray.
I did get pricked by Gray, as you say. But are Everton going to bounce with Big Dunk? You know, the matchup doesn't suggest they're going to do very well. But to be honest with you, I have to say I'm wondering whether I give them another week, but I'm also thinking I might take one of them out. I'm not sure I can run with both of them.
Greater Ramsey, Bruno to KDB.
Yeah, I don't know that I need to save money. Probably go Gray to someone.
It'll help you get Salah.
I'd more likely go Gray to Coutinho or Gray to Rafinha, to be honest with you.
You could afford Salah if you went to Coutinho.
Yeah, I've still got the play. I haven't got quite as much money in the bank as Dredd. I think Dredd's got about 11.5 million in the bank at the moment.
But your team value is always through the roof.
I think I've got about 6 million in the bank. Yeah, my team value is 106 point something million. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've got plenty of money to play with. So that's where we are with that one. Defensively, Arsenal top it. So Arsenal top attack and top defence. So there we go. So it's a really solid matchup against Burnley. It's about as good as it gets, right?
Yeah, Burnley away are just so bad.
Brentford second, because Wolves are so bad away from home. So bad. And then we've got City at 1.8 away at Southampton. I will be playing both my City defenders without a doubt. I was annoyed that Payne Diaz got benched last week. That really annoyed me. Leeds at home against Newcastle, 1.6. Leeds defense positive. What the hell is going on, Gabe? but this is before Chris Wood. We'll come on to this in a minute, right?
And in fairness, they've been improving little by little in every game week. They've been getting a little bit tighter. The one thing that I'll say for Wolves, kind of in their defense and in terms of their attack, because Brentford defense is so high. If we look like their past, I don't know, what is it, six game weeks have been against Liverpool, City, Brighton, Chelsea, United, Southampton. So, you know, that they've had really difficult fixtures the last six, and their attack has been struggling, but I do expect it to improve, especially against a weaker defense like Brentford. So
my feeling, I've got quite a strong feeling here about a 0-0 draw in that game.
I don't see it. I think Wolves score.
Well, Wolves have got 0.8 and Brentford have got a very strong matchup. So what I'm thinking is that it could be that is the sort of game you could see a 0-0 draw possibly, but who knows? Let's see. Let's see how it goes. We're not doing the predictions at the moment because we've not split the shows up, right? So
we got a dread kind of foreshadowing the next slide here, Mariner. Man City second for attack and third for defense.
And yeah.
And there you go, Dre.
your boy. There's the next slide. Although Arsenal are top. Mm-hmm. So again, the thing is, are we going to be owning Arsenal defenders now? We're probably offloading them, right? Because of the situation. That's why we haven't put an Arsenal defender on the screen.
They don't have a player like Cancelo either that will create like that from the back.
That's right. But he is, I think, quite a solid captaincy shout this week.
And I think Dredd has captained Cancelo to much success. He had a big haul from Cancelo, I think, earlier this season. So
I wouldn't be objectionable to it, but I tend not to captain defenders. In fact, I can't remember the last time I captained a defender, quite frankly. I have ever captained a defender.
Stop it.
No, I'm not. Not deliberately. I think I've maybe captained not one of deliberate. The first captain and they've had to and they've had to come in, or I've maybe made a mistake and gone to sleep and have captained one by mistake.
Uh-huh.
On Mr. Deadline or not saved my team or something like that. But I don't think I've done it deliberately.
Hmm.
But yeah, there we go. Arsenal top 2.9, City 2.1, Leeds 1.6. Okay, then Brentford, Man City, not a lot else there. Aston Villa seem low. But we've already discussed this. Changes afoot.
Yeah.
Coutinho. Dean. Luke Dean, right? Unless his leg falls off, he could be an excellent option. But he is a bit injury prone, isn't he?
You know, they have Target, who's a serviceable backup for Dean. And the other thing to consider is I believe Mings is injured. So it'll be Courtney Hose. Right. I don't know how much of a downgrade that is. To be honest, Mings is mistake prone as well. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, I think the only thing I would say though is that, yeah, I think I'm just looking at this now. I've lost my back. I can't even see what I'm doing. I'll come back to it on the. I'll come back onto the bill. I think I've lost my notes somewhere. But anyway, I still think that they're an option. I do. I quite like them. And I think I probably would bring Dean in, I think, if they doubled, because I do have a bit of a problem called Dawson, who needs to depart my team toot sweet.
Hmm.
was my French for the day.
That's not bad.
Yeah. Tout sweet. Immediately. Yes. Get out of there. That was a bad move. I did get some points out of him, but no, I mean, quite frankly, I think a Villa defender would be quite useful. The attacking defense, attacking fixture difficulty seems to be pulling the defense down, right? A bit. So there we go, I think. But Brentford, let's have a look at Brentford. They are the second best in defense, according to this, but they're terrible in attack.
Right.
So, you know, again, are they an option? Probably not. And it was already mentioned about Wolves.
So earlier in the season, the defense was bringing the attack down in terms of the average, if I remember correctly. This is kind of like the first time where we've seen where we've had a game week where there's been a shift where the defense is actually looking better than the attack, but the defense is also not looking great, is it? Like we could be looking at 1-1s and stuff like that.
I plugged my team. I always do it, and I don't know if anybody else does, but I always plug my team into FPL. There's the FPL optimized and the review, FPL review, those two optimizers. Mm-hmm. The numbers are low this week. I don't think they expect high scores.
If the one, I think the FDR supports that idea, yeah, that we don't expect, yeah, high scores. And the one thing I'll caution, in a game week with low scores, a hit is a higher percentage of your overall score. So hits this game week could be quite dangerous. If you're taking a 4-point hit and it's 10% of your weekly output this week, that could hurt more than usual.
Yeah, I think it depends if there's a double game week. I think if there's a double game week, I might be taking another hit.
For sure. That changes the equation, definitely.
I've been doing it quite a lot just recently. I think I've took more hits in the last 4 weeks than I took all season.
FPL game week says, well, wait a minute. Did I hear Chris saying he'd lost his nuts? Or his
no,
nuts?
Definitely no, it's not nuts. But anyway, there we go. Let's have a look at NetXG, Gabe, because that's the next place we need to go with all this.
Yeah, can I mention a comment by Rubber Ducky here really quickly? Because I think it is a good one if we're good to learn our lessons from this past alleged double game week. He says he's holding his free transfer, people chasing potential double game week Villa after being reminded again double game weeks are a trap.
Yeah, and it could be. It's quite a long. It would be in the FA Cup weekend, wouldn't it? If they announced it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be in the fourth round weekend,
right?
So it's quite a while away. So there is always the possibility that with COVID, I mean, look, more people will know more about the UK than me regarding COVID. Everything I read sounds like it's dropping again. So we're starting to see some benefit out of all this, but you know, eventually we might get back to a degree of normality.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, point taken. But do you know what? The flip side is, you know, what happens if they do play, and what happens if they do all? You know, it's just as easily go the other way.
Yeah.
Just as easily go the other way. Gabe, let's talk about NetXG. Let's have a look at that this week.
Okay. Well, it agrees with your FDR to begin with. NetXG has Arsenal highest, right? With the highest percent chance of 3 or more goals, 19%. Just really quickly to update everyone kind of how to read this. The numbers are color-coded vertically. So if you look at the NetXG column, the top one says 2.08. It's the darkest green because it's the highest. The lowest is, what do we got? Spurs. Look at you. Spurs away to Chelsea at 0.46. So read it vertically like that. The 0.46 will be the deepest red. If we move to the next column, which is percent chance of zero goals, think of this as percent chance for clean sheet for the opposition. So if we go back down to Spurs, Spurs have the highest percent chance of zero goals at 48%. In other words, Chelsea have a 48% chance of a clean sheet. Oh, no, sorry. That's the second highest. 48% chance of a clean sheet this week. The highest is Arsenal against Burnley at 49% chance of a clean sheet. So that's how we're reading these numbers. And then I would suggest you don't even have to look at the columns 4 and 5. I think a 3+ will should suffice for most people. The highest percent chance of 3 or more goals this week is Arsenal home to Burnley with 19%. Then we have Brentford.
Brentford. Yeah.
So Brentford's attack has been suspiciously high in net XG. I think we have to. And it seems like something's up there. I smell something fishy there. Something's broken. Maybe. And we also have Chelsea with a 14% chance of 3 or more against Spurs. And then Leeds against Newcastle with 14% chance.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? I look at this, and again, Arsenal just jump off the page at me. It's such a good matchup. But look, I'll tell you what, I also see Leeds. The Leeds game really... I think that's one which is, I think, really NetXG really likes it, doesn't it? Tell you what, I don't like Liverpool so much, does it? Not quite so much.
Liverpool's attack has been on the decline even before Salah went to AFCON.
It has, hasn't it? I've noticed that as well. I think it's just the fact. I think we'll see it when we look at the zonals in a minute. I think we'll see it there as well. Mm-hmm. We're starting to see Liverpool's turn. They're no longer green.
The NPXG delta, so the goals minus the NPXG has been negative for Liverpool over the past 6 or 7 game weeks, which says that basically they're not as clinical in their finishing. They're not taking advantage of the chances that they're creating, and I think they're creating fewer chances as well. So that's the reason for that. And then obviously Salah and Mane are still out.
Yeah. And it doesn't like Everton. It doesn't like Aston Villa, either. Really? Only 39% chance for one goal, 21% for two. So, again, doesn't like Watford that much against Norwich. Doesn't expect
Norwich. Norwich defence has been improving as well.
I expect a haul, right, does it?
Nope.
So... not much. It may be quite, whilst there are one or two decent numbers, that maybe, as I say, it could be. I think maybe what we're starting to think here is it could be quite a low story, like quite a low scoring week.
It's looking like a lot of ones, 1-0s, maybe an occasional 2-1. But it doesn't look like a week for hauls either on the attack side or defense side.
No. As I say, maybe. I still say I like City. That's the game that I really like, I think, this week away at Southampton. Okay.
There's a question from James really quickly. He's asking, Gabe, is this taking account of the recent Chelsea form? Yes. Yes, it is, James.
It's up to date. We updated it this morning, right?
Yep, it was updated this morning, Singapore time. It was somehow magically updated while I was sleeping, so that's cool.
Yeah, it is. It's all the data we've got is absolutely up to date as of today.
And for reference, so those in the podcast know why James is asking. Chelsea have an expected net XG against Spurs of 1.29, which means 25% chance of 0 goals, 37% chance of 1 goal, 25% chance of 2 goals, and 14% chance of 3 or more. Notice how 1.29 has the same percent chance. 1.29 for Chelsea against Spurs has the same percent chance of 0 goals and 2 goals. Equally likely for them to have 0 than for them to score 2.
Mm. Clean sheet wise, Arsenal, Chelsea, and Brentford. So yours likes Brentford as well.
City's not bad at 40% as well.
Yeah, City's not bad.
Yeah, Brentford against the... But again, Wolves' data is skewed because of their matchups in the last 6.
Yeah, fair enough. But yeah, so Chelsea maybe wouldn't necessarily... Maybe hold them one more week. then I think you're selling them, right? But yeah, Arsenal, again, hold them one more week. If you've still got them, hold them. I wouldn't be selling this week. All right, that's that one. Let's have a look at the zonals, Gabe. But before we do, look, if you've not already hit like, please do, right? We want likes. if you like what we're doing, I know there's one or two problems, I think, with buffering tonight, which sounds like it's a bit of a pain in the ass. But to be honest with you, I had problems with buffering earlier on when I was watching The Wire. So I'm wondering if there's just something, I don't know whether it's Singapore or whether it's something just going on tonight, but it's certainly a bit of a problem. So hopefully if it is, obviously, by the time it comes to the, you will be able to catch up on anything if this has spoiled it. But
it's
not our
thing.
Fault.
Yeah, it's not our fault. It's not our fault. Yeah. Go on.
Yeah. So hit like, and if you don't subscribe, hit subscribe.
it's weird to ask people to like, for me it is anyway, but here's like the bottom line is, if you like and you subscribe, it makes us popular, and the more popular we get, the more things we can do, and we have a bunch of plans for things we want to do, and we just need to become more popular so we get more attention, so we can have more resources to do these things, and that's the equation.
So fair enough, Gabe. Good sound.
Had to get it out there. It always feels
good,
weird.
Like, good sound. Oh, please, I like that. Some good sound. Well done. Anyway, let's have a look at the zonals then. Mm-hmm. For this. So we've done the same thing with zonals this week. Is what we've done is we've added them up till game week 28. So we're going to look at it that way now. Hmm. So let's have a look at this. And the obvious one I'm going to point us at is Liverpool. And look, they are not stand out by any means. Hmm. Left and center are average, if not low. Yet right, still pretty good.
I mean,
the Salah effect.
Correct. I mean, for Liverpool, keep in mind that they play Palace away. That's not easy. And they have a blank. So it's one tough fixture and one blank, right? And then four easy fixtures. For example, the blanks really hurt when you aggregate it like this, right? Look at Arsenal, who have two blanks. That's why they're so low. So it's hard. It's hard. True. You know, it's hard to gauge.
You need to show it in that way, though, because the reason is if you're looking at it from a perspective of, oh, this looks great. Hmm. I think averages are completely skewed. If you're only averaging three or five, you could have two and they look great.
Yeah.
Right.
At least this way, it allows us to add that context, right? If we're averaging it, then the context kind of gets buried in the calculation. So this is good. Like, well, it looks like our Arsenal have difficult matchups left, right, and center. But when you look at them, they don't necessarily.
Correct.
They just have two blanks and Wolves.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's
exactly.
What that's what's bringing
exactly
them down.
But saying that. As I say, you know, you probably wouldn't be holding your expensive Arsenal assets, like I said earlier on, but you might hold a Smith Rowe. I've still got him.
There are no expensive Arsenal assets.
You won't hold the expensive ones. Is there any? Yeah. Well, Lacazette, you'll get rid of him. You probably get rid of Ramsdale as well.
You heard it here last, everybody. Get rid of Lacazette.
Yeah. But yeah, I look at that and I just think, you know, it might work for a cheap rotation there. But look, let's look at the other one. So Liverpool, they're not so standout, but they could have had a really tasty double game week, which is not showing yet there. And, you know, I think it probably still has me holding Jota because of the double. But do you know what? I'd be starting to think about it if... Mm. They didn't have this double coming up. I really would. City, amazing. Look how green they are. 27.5, 26.5, 27.4. That's the chances expected over that period from the left, the centre, and the right in real terms, okay? That's what these numbers actually are.
I think what this shows nicely is a point that Rubber Ducky was making earlier in the chat, and that sometimes a double game week's are traps, and just the consistency of good single game week players on good teams. Like look at Manchester City, right? They don't have any doubles. They just have one match every game week, and they have the best, at least zonal matchups, and they have some of the best FDR matchups as well. So, to Rubber Ducky's point, sometimes you just go for the good guys on good teams.
Yeah. And of course, and the Padner in the chat says, too much uncertainty in the upcoming games to use 6 weeks. We're not saying there isn't. What we're saying is that this is about trends. The trends are there. The trends for maintaining your city, get if you've not got a city attacker, the trends to get a city attacker are there. The, you know, you look at some of these greens here. Aston Villa left. Look how green Aston Villa left is. If they have more games, it'll be even greener.
Yeah, and the other thing I'll say is just because you have a storm in front of you that's clouding your visibility doesn't mean you stop looking up. You're still going to try to get that perspective as well. You don't stop doing that just because of the storm.
Yeah, and for that, I'm really keen on Luka Dean, actually, providing he stays fit. Mm-hmm. Look at that. Looks really good. You brought one up as well, Gabe. Cresswell.
Yes.
West Ham's left, right?
Mm-hmm.
Really tasty. On set pieces. Back delivering balls in, like, you know, Bowen seemingly all of a sudden worked out how to head a ball.
I don't remember who I was. It was either FML FPL or above average. One of those two. They were talking about Cresswell and how in a match where they conceded, how many did they concede? Two, three? Against three, right? Against Leeds, they lost 3-2. Yeah. They conceded three against Leeds, and Cresswell had a defender that conceded three had by far the most baseline bonus.
Yeah, that's hopeful then. Yeah,
so and I think that's where Cresswell's value really is he's going to hog bonus. His delivery is so good. I think West Ham will surge thanks to the return of Cresswell. Yeah. They've really missed him.
Yeah, I'm looking in the chat as well. I'm just coming back on Podner again. You know, you can't have trends when teams don't play because of postponements. Well, what we're going to do then? Just flick a coin. You know, we have to try and do something. We still look at it, you know, and I actually think that postponements are going to fall away now.
I actually disagree. You have trends and you have postponements. So like the trends are the underlying trends that are based on stats and tactics, right? And those trends don't disappear just because a game is postponed. The trend is still there, and it is our job to kind of like look for them.
Yeah. Absolutely. Anyway, so yeah, it's all about projections. That's the way it looks, and we try our best, you know. But we're the same as you. We don't know what's going to happen ultimately. That's unfortunately one of the problems for content creators this year, right? Yeah. It's pretty difficult. Let's look at some others. Target going to give Dean some pressure, possibly, but I can't. I actually think Dean is in. With me.
I was just typing the response to Nehal there in the chat. But here's my view on this: is Dean came in from another club, right, and went right into the starting lineup.
Yeah,
I don't think Target is a threat at all, and I think this season it's set his career back a little bit. I think Target, and he needs to rebuild that. I don't think he's any competition to Dean at this point, unless it's a rotation for rest.
No, absolutely. You got Rafinha. Looked very good, potentially on the left or the right, because he could pop up on either side, right? Yeah. But Leeds flanks look good.
Yeah,
with respect to matchups going forward, and Mbumo. I've got
not Mbembe.
Do I have to say his name? That's what I said. That's what I've put in my notes. Do I have to say his name? Woodworkio. Is he still Woodworkio? Is he at the Woodwork recently? But yeah, Brentford, right. Not terribly bad either. So I quite like this. I think this really, I actually like the way this has been done. I think this might be the way we go forwards with the zonals for long range.
Mm-hmm. I like how it brings context.
Yeah. And it works particularly well when we've got double game weeks, because you'll add them together, right? So that then gives you some will have double, some will have double, because they will get, if they're playing that length of time, they will get that chance. They will get those chances. Of course, they've got to be on the pitch. Mm. But there we go. Right. All right, then. So zonal matchups by rank for this week, then. Let's have a quick look at that. And, yeah, we can all have a laugh at, you can laugh at this. And I left it on, right? He was, you know, it was a Harrison, flash in the pan hat trick. But I then immediately look at Leeds matchup on the left hand side. Then I went to SofaScore and looked at Harrison's heat map, and he hogs the left hand side. Not necessarily, maybe a little bit wide is the only thing I'm a bit worried about. But saying that, he wasn't a disastrous asset last year. I'm not saying anyone would bring him in, but there he is. He sat there in the picture. You know, I personally think you said, oh, you know, maybe we should just think about Rafinha or someone like that on the screen. But look, at the end of the day, Rafinha could pop up on the left-hand side just as well as the right, couldn't he? So I think the point is that the flanks, again, as we've just said, are pretty strong for Leeds going forwards.
Yeah, and Rafinha has been on the left and right all season. He has been moving around. Now, what's interesting is Leeds have created, 80 chances from the left side this season, which is fifth most. And it doesn't feel that way. And the reason it doesn't feel that way is because Harrison is primarily on the left. And he's just not very good. So,
All right.
He's had so Leeds. If you think about it, Leeds have been creating a lot of chances from the left. Actually, more chances from the left than the right, I believe. Let me verify that really quickly. 80 chances from the left compared to, well, similar, 71 from the right over the course of the season. It is about the same. So if we're looking about the same, and then compare Rafinha's production to Harrison's production, he's had the one game. Don't get the player on the screen, please. Just a word of caution.
What's that?
Don't bring in the player on the screen. You can laugh at him, but don't bring him in.
He's there just for show. Yeah. Anyway, look, it doesn't matter. But look, Leeds 4.2, Manchester United 3.9, second best on the left-hand side. Liverpool 3.8, City 3.7. Not super high numbers, are they? Remember, this is the other thing we see, Gabe. When we look at this every week, we're seeing numbers 4.5, 5. We consider those pretty good, right? They're all right, these fours. That 4.2 is all right. Once you drop under 4, then it's a little bit meh, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you want at least two chances coming from that side, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Let's have a look at the centre. Chris Wood. You've got Wood, mate. You wanted him, so I put him onto the graphic for you. But Arsenal top it at 4.3.
He looks high in that picture. His eyes, he looks so sleepy. Sorry.
He does, doesn't he? He looks like he's had a big night out on the down the big market, right? down the quayside in Newcastle. He's maybe sampling the local ladies.
It's like, oh.
Good place to go. If you've ever been to Newcastle for a night out, it's amazing. No wonder he's looking tired.
So Chris Wood, I mean, Newcastle's interesting right now, right? Because on the left-hand side, they have their penetrating players. They're Saint-Maximin, they're, right? And then on the right-hand side, they have their service players like Fraser. And so it's an unbalanced attack. I don't know. I want to see Chris Wood do something before I consider him, but this could be the week for him to get involved. They're certainly trying.
Well, it's a fact Leeds don't really defend through the middle very well. Through the centre. Right? Exactly. For that reason, it might well be the week he does something. I think it's not a bad shout, actually.
Yeah.
Not a bad shout at all. But Arsenal, yeah, top. We've already spoke about Arsenal, haven't we? City then, 3.6. And then it drops away. Watford, Leeds. Leeds through the middle, not particularly very good. Against Newcastle. Really doesn't sound great, that. But yeah, looking at the rest, it's all pretty crap.
Yep.
Quite honestly. And on the right, well, I'll have Rafinha on because there we go. So, but we would have shown Saka if he was fit. But yeah, Liverpool 4.2, City 4.1, Arsenal 4. Then we've got Leeds United, Watford, 3.7, 3.6, 3.6, 3.5, West Ham, Brighton. I just think, I mean, I'm looking at this and I'm saying, I'm not quite sure who's really jumping out on the zonal matchups this week.
Mm.
Not much, really.
No, I mean, you have your Liverpool, your Man City. The one thing I'll say about Rafinha here is he can do a lot with very little, right? So, you know, the 3.7 from the right, for Rafinha, I think that means more than maybe for other players. His production has been so good this year, even when they're not producing much, the leads, when they're not creating much, he still manages to get something.
Fair enough. But the only thing was the Rafinha, and I had a bit of a to and fro in with Big Man on Twitter earlier on. He's saying, oh, Rafinha's the standout option. I said, yeah, but he'll only get one return. That's all he does. I can't.
But one return, and he always max bones. So his one return is actually 150%.
Yeah, there is that. And if he's playing two games, he'll get two returns, perhaps. But
mid sixes, it's good value.
He's not. Yeah, he's good value. He's great. I would go as far as saying he's great value. I think what you need just need Leeds to start showing a little bit of what they were, and at the moment, I'm still not quite there with them. I'd like to see Bamford coming back and get. I still like, you know, those 8 million forwards. We've got DCL and Bamford sat there, just about to get fit. Both of those players could come right into our thinking in a few weeks.
But imagine, look at Rafinha's production thus far this season, right? Without Bamford, without a fit team,
and
it's incredible value for his price now. So if it can only improve. His value is only even going to get better when Bamford comes. So I would say you don't need to wait for Bamford because his value is already great.
Hmm. Okay. Fair enough. Apparently, Nehal said that next place Wood ends up would be Grimsby Town. Well, same coloured shirts. Black and white, right?
Uh-huh.
And we'd have him.
Nice pun.
No problem.
Nice pun there. I would have him.
We'd have him. No, we don't mind Wood in Grimsby.
No wonder you're going back.
Always. Mariner Fest coming up, announced soon.
That's right. Bring Wood.
Yeah. You can't say that.
You left it on a silver platter for me. I couldn't help it.
Dropped it as usual. Righty-ho. Well, we're going to do what's this roomy pick of the week? Last I heard, it was the bloody Alchemist. It's all changed.
I ran out of quotes in the Alchemist.
How can you run out of quotes in a book?
Well, when you finish reading it, you should get acquainted with that experience.
Just read planes.
Rumi, you can't run out of Rumi quotes because this guy's written about a billion poems. So, So the Rumi pick this week is Jacob Ramsey. Give me one second. I'll bring up my...
I might do a Nostradamus quote of the week. That might be quite a good one.
Yeah, Nostradamus.
Some predicted natural disaster or something like that. For, you know, something that happens in the... And try and put it towards FPL. Pick the, does a song. I'll try and do a Nostradamus quote.
Exactly, a crystal ball pick. This is not a crystal ball pick, as you all know. I picked the pick was Tariq Lamptey last week. It didn't work out, unfortunately. So just a little bit of background for those that didn't hear kind of the explanation last week. Rumi, his name is Jalal ad-Din Muhammad Rumi, was a Persian poet, Sufi mystic, and Islamic scholar. So this week's new Rumi pick is one who has impressed. He's impressed me with his play, and his ability to internalize lessons and make adjustments within a game has really impressed me. So last match, he had a really poor first half, went into halftime, listened to his manager, listened to Gerrard, made adjustments, and had a great second half. So Jacob Ramsey, he's been compared to Steven Gerrard himself, and I think Gerrard sees himself in Ramsey. The manager has shown trust in him by allowing him to learn lessons in the flow of the game. For me, that's the definition of trust. When a coach trusts his player, the player's not doing well, give him the lesson. He goes back out there and he adapts. It's just a really good sign. Ramsey has looked good for quite a little while here. But now that we may be walking into a double game week, I think he's the ideal enabler to maximize kind of a short-term plan to save funds for the future return of the king. So the quote for the Rumi pick, given that there could be a double game week coming in, is beauty surrounds us, but usually we need to be walking in a garden to know it. And I like it because Ramsey has been playing well. He's even shown some of the FPL production recently. We've noticed him, but now that he has a double game week, potentially, that could be the garden that we needed to really recognize him and bring him in.
I thought when you said roomie, I thought you were talking about roommate.
Oh, my roomie.
Yeah.
No.
The roomie of the week. Who's your roomie? I'm sorry. I don't mean to take the piss, but I just do. No, it's all good fun, you know. I like this. I do like this, but we need to walk in a garden to know it. What a wonderful way to describe FPL. Is everyone miserable as sin? There's so many people complaining about the statistics. Oh, statistics are a load of bollocks because we don't know anyone's playing.
They need to get out and get in the garden.
Embrace the chaos, people. Embrace the chaos.
Yes, and find the little flowers of joy, like Jacob Ramsey.
So I'll give you a little bit of a sneak peek into net that hole behind the scenes. Gabe and I were going to have a chat this morning, and I connected on WhatsApp to Gabe, but he was just there. He was just opening a bottle of wine. I went, oh, what bother then?
I was cooking. Mariner calls me. The bok choy overcooked, Mariner. Yeah. It wilted. The bok choy wilted. Yeah. My kids didn't need it. They didn't have their greens. It was a mess.
There's all sorts of double entendres going on in the chat as well about Woods and about Chris Wood and penetration and things like that. That was very rude.
Well, you know why that happened? Because these people are coming from The Wire. and that's their jam. Yeah,
the Wire
and
Wood gang,
jokes
yeah.
are their jam yeah, over is, there. So they're bringing it over.
That's exactly right. Come to pollute our chat. Where's that bloody moderator gone? Bloody Bungle's disappeared off the face of the earth. Where are you, Bungle? Anyone want to be a moderator? Let me know. Send me a message. I think we might need another. Anyway, right. Let's have a bit of all about FPL. I need to have a drink. So even though I'm not drinking alcohol at this moment. Dry January and all that. And I'm a bit fat. Right, here we go.
Are you craving more FPL content? Then look no further than allaboutfpl.com. Head over there for weekly articles from some of the top content creators on the planet. So what are you waiting for? Head over to allaboutfpl.com, the website for all your FPL needs.
There we go. I tell you, there's another person I need to try and meet up when I'm in London. Is Surya, right? Because he's across there.
Yeah.
There we go. So, yeah, that's another person. Yes, all about FPL. What are you waiting for, as always? Well, what we are waiting for this week is for a captain to play. Because it's on the metrics on Harry Kane, and he hasn't played yet. oh, dear. And I think the vice-captaincy was on Ronaldo. So, yeah, let's see what happens overnight as to whether we drop further. But we're at 76% at the moment, but nothing's changed. So yeah, there we go. But what is going to happen this week with the captaincy metric? And I think this could be an interesting little section. So let's have a look. Kevin De Bruyne.
All right, I have to bring him in then.
Kevin De Bruyne is top of the captaincy metric.
Rafinha second.
Yes. Rafinha second. There we go. But I still think KDB is a bit of a standout at this moment in time. Hmm. He's got good fixture difficulty, good form. He's talismanic, as we've been saying. You know, 106% chance of a goal or an assist, according to Hub, and a metric of 94. Rafinha second is shot back onto the scene, quite frankly, possibly due to the fact it's Newcastle.
Definitely not due to the 0% haul percent.
No, that's the noticeable. Isn't that noticeable?
Yeah.
This is net that haul. We shouldn't even allow him.
This is net that haul, and we in the top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, eight. In the top eight, we have one player with over with 33%. Yeah. That's the highest. And but it's a defender.
Remember, it's about getting those captaincy returns consistently. It's not always you're going to nail that, right?
Right. So let's move to that column. You want to go down that column? Really quickly?
What was it? Net that return. Is that what we're going to change?
Name of the show is get a couple points.
Yeah. Anyway, let's keep going. So Rafinha is back on the scene. Now, if Rafinha doubles, he will top the metric. So there you go. There is the key here. If Rafinha doubles this week, he will be top of the net that hole, or the FPL Mariner metric, because Watkins can't catch him because he's a long way down. Look, Lacazette third. No one owns him anyway. Don't need to worry about. But it is the best matchup. Okay, and then we have Cancelo sat there, big haul capability, best haul capability out the top gang. In fact, there's only Cancelo, Trent, Bowen with 33% haul now.
I mean, if Cancelo, best haul percentage, best return percentage, third best FDR, third best form.
Form's a bit low, actually.
Nobody's form is very high.
No.
These days.
Rotation's very low. 41% chance for clean sheet, 69% chance for a goal.
Dread is getting very excited right now.
Is he?
Yes, he is.
I mean, look, I quite like him. I just think it's 38%, isn't it, for his goal and assist, I should say. So yeah, Cancelo's a good option. I think he's a far better option than Trent this week. Far better option than Trent. Mm-hmm. That's one thing I would definitely say. I don't know what people are saying in the chat about the captaincy. I'd be interested to know what people are, who people are looking at. We've got Nehel, bus captain Cancelo, Dread Cancelo, and a lot of, here we go. That's a good point, Dread. Rafinha cannot double, apparently, because he would have to go to, South Americans have got internationals.
Mm.
There we go. So we won't top the metric. So it could be Watkins then. Could be. Although I'm not quite sure whether he's got enough to propel him to the very top. So there we go. So KDB, Rafinha is still a good option with a single game week. Cancelo's a great option. Then we've got players like Jota, Bernardo, Sterling. Yeah, all very bleh. I think it's fairly obvious for me where I'm going, Gabe. What about you?
It would take surgery to bring De Bruyne in, but I think that might be the way I have to go. Probably bring him in for Son at this point, and Captain KDB. I'm trying to stick with the metric. It's been working for me this season. I didn't do it last week, obviously, because Kane didn't double. But
I've been following it more often than not this year as well, actually. Yeah.
I mean, it's easy to follow when Salah is perma-captain, right? But right now, it's these decisions. Cancelo is super, super appealing to me.
I like him, but then, I think it was Akib, I think earlier on in the chat, said just wait for a Ward-Prowse free kick arrowed into the top corner in the 91st minute or something like that. Cue chaos in Singapore as Mariner smashes his window and throws the TV out the front window.
So you know how that's not the type of that the one he scored against Wolves. It's not usually how he kicks the ball.
That's not Ward-Prowse, is it? He belted it.
You know what he said? He said in an interview. I forget what show I was listening to this. He said, "Oh, I was I practiced that a few times this week to hit the ball a little differently." You just practice a couple times in a week, and you can just knuckle it.
I'd never be able to do that in my entire life. The ball would still be going up. In fact, it probably wouldn't even reach there.
Did you see Zaha's face when that went in? He's cursing. He's like finding somebody to blame, like cursing at the heavens. It's like, I don't know. I'm pissed off. He's pissed off for some reason. The ball's not supposed to do that.
All right. So anyway, that's the content. Have we got any questions? Well, that's where so there's plenty of chit-chat going on in there. I'm not sure there's many questions, actually.
There are some questions, and there are some interesting comments as well. I'm going to go with FPL Penguin. He says, I feel more comfortable to go triple city defense over any city attacker. I've been playing with that as well. I have Diaz and Cancelo, and I could easily go Alonso to Laporte and forget about any of those midfielders, forget about the rotation for the most part. They are by far the best defense in the league. They headers from Diaz and Laporte, they do have a goal threat.
He does have a threat, does Laporte. Yeah, I think if I wasn't on Diaz, Laporte would be right in my view. Would I go treble? I don't think I could watch the game.
It's the cancellations that would do it.
And not just that, I just don't think it would be enjoyable. How on earth, you know, watching with three defenders in you?
Because the ball almost never goes to the defensive third. No, but that's with a regular team. But when it's City, the ball is almost never in that defensive third. You're just sitting there, just kind of chilling most of the game.
I don't know.
And then Ward-Prowse comes along.
I can see why people think it, but there is, and John Stones is just sneaking around the edges from time to time now, isn't he?
I don't know. I'm not sure about that. I don't know. It's risky. It's definitely risky. But I think it's something really worth exploring.
I mean, I think we're a few weeks away before City tie the league up and then just watch this space once they do, because then it'll all change.
Yeah.
Right. Remember what happened last year? Yeah, I sleepwalked into that City rotation and I got absolutely destroyed.
We'll be having Stones, Ake, and friggin' Palmer or someone.
So maybe we'll wildcard into three defenders.
Stone, Ake, and Zinchenko will be our City triple up in defense.
You're taking all three out, yeah. No, I destroyed me last year. I remember that very well. I've crashed down the ranks. What else have we got in here? Apart from double entendres and...
Penguin's also asking, what about some love for Jack Harrison? We did cover Jack Harrison with some laughs earlier. Love.
I still don't understand how it... I mean, West Ham must have been feeling particularly friendly. You know, at the end of the day, last year he wasn't a terrible asset, was he? We did talk about him last year, right?
Yeah, he did
come up in conversations last year, mainly about being subbed at half time, wasn't it?
Yeah. We're not anti Jack, though. We're not anti.
No.
Nehal saying thoughts on Bruno to KDB and Trossard to Rafinha for a -4.
Like it.
That's good. Really, I told them in the chat, like, I'm jealous of those transfers. That's really good.
Yeah, I really like that. Actually, yeah, I really like that. I could do something similar. I could go Bruno KDB and I could go Gray, or I could go Smith Rowe to him because I've got the cash. And I still get back to Salah. So yeah, I quite like that. I think, you know, again, interesting one. The only thing is when are we going to run into that horrible international break? Crap coming back from America for South America for the following week. I don't know when they play. I'd have to look at that. That would be a thought in the back of my mind, right? about international, you know, when they're going on a long distance run, right? I know they're on a private plane, but it's not the point.
Are they?
The usual. They tend to, don't they? They tend to bring them back on them anyway. That's what they normally do, don't they? Always they see them on Instagram or wherever the bloody
I mean, players, that, at least the players that play in Spain, it's up to them. And you have players like there are a couple of Venezuelans that play for Granada, and they have to book flights and book their own flights, and while Messi's like chartering his own plane and flying all his rich friends around the poorer countries, like my country, have to brave the skies with everyone else.
This question here. Sterling captain this week. Think he can rinse Perro at the Southampton left-back. He's been rinsing most people in recent weeks, if he plays. He looks terrific. Eye test. Sterling looks amazing. Looks as good as I've seen him.
I think when he started playing, he still didn't look good, but recently he's been more, he penetrates more, he slows the ball down less. He's combining a little bit better with his teammates as well, and having, you know, a better understanding. But are we sure he starts? I'm just never sure Sterling starts. I'm just never confident.
No, I think that's the problem. I think it's always down to minutes, right? It's always down to minutes with him. But no, Matt, good. I'm not against it. I just think, you know, who's your vice? I think that's what I'd be thinking there. Ask this on a pod. This is from Amund. But who do we think will be the highest scoring forward this season? Good question.
It is a good question.
Who do you think?
So,
I'm not sure who's top now, to be honest with you.
Well, if we're looking at the forwards now, Antonio is still top, 98 points. We have Dennis with 94, Saint-Maximin with 83, Ronaldo 82, Vardy, Malpe. This is bleak, isn't it?
Really,
it's
crap.
Fucking bleak. I mean,
how far's Kane back? Miles.
Kane is at 53 points. Antonio's at 98.
I think it might be Antonio.
I agree. Antonio.
It might be.
I hope it's St. Max. But
Right, what else have we got? Akib, Brighton blank in game week 24. Change goalkeeper or let Foster play? Who are they playing in game week 24? Well, yeah, play him anyway.
Play Foster.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
They play West Ham away.
Would you prioritize a second City defender, Laporte or Dean? From Thomas.
That's a good question.
It is, because the double game weeks are coming, aren't they? And the fixtures are good.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a bit cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's a bit close. That's probably a real... I think, given that Laporte could rotate and probably plays left, I might not go that double City direction. Because I might chase the double game weeks. And it's horrible to do it, but these double game weeks will happen at some stage, right? They've still got to play the games. It's like Burnley. Burnley going to be playing every 3 days for a
seriously, for the next 6 months.
I just read Burnley will still be playing in August.
I go Laporte.
Yeah, I'm really borderline on that one. I'm really borderline. I do like the idea of Villa with the run of fixtures that they've got, and the fact that, you know, clearly he's going to be very, very much in Gerrard's plans. It's how he plays, right?
Yeah,
it's how he sets the team up.
He'll have some set pieces as well.
Yeah, he's absolutely going to be. I think he's going to be pretty integral into the whole setup, and I just think that he could be very, very good value.
Hmm. It's a great question, and it's super close. I'd side for the best defense in the league by far, but the upside is like you're saying is with Dean and his new role and his new team. I mean, so.
The only thing is that,
well, I think we're split on this one.
The downside of Dean is he does get injured, doesn't he?
He gets injured. He has a yellow card in him. I mean, there are downsides to both.
But maybe he's got at least one. He's probably got his chip off his shoulder. Now he's changed teams because he had a massive chip on his shoulder as well.
Depends if that chip was a function of the team or inherent to his personality. I don't know.
Who knows? Anything else before we get out of here? 1 hour 33.
I don't think so.
Any other questions, lads? You want to quickly go? We've got five. We'll happily do another 5 minutes if you want, but if not, we'll bugger off. Seems it's all gone quiet over there.
Yep.
So let's go. Let's get out of here. I think everybody's still a bit tired of all of FPL and just trying to. Sort of like, I don't know, lick wounds? Is it licking wounds? Or licking is it just wounds. Is it, or is it just going, do you know what, bollocks to it?
That's the FPL beach. I think, I don't know if Rubber Ducky's still in the house, but if you are feeling the, like, the despair of FPL and that you can't judge anything, you can't analyze anything because of all the uncertainty, just jump on the FPL beach. The water's always fine. Doesn't matter what happens in a game week, the sun will shine the next day.
Yeah, yeah. There is one more question from Amund. Hmm. Would we even consider Chelsea assets going forward? Not now. What's going on at that club? Seems very strange.
In my opinion, and there's been a lot of talk that Tuchel is a tactical genius. I think Tuchel has shown some tactical frailties this season. Just some, a little bit of incompetence. You know, you brought in a player like Romelu Lukaku, and you're playing. You have a game plan as if you had Olivier Giroud. Lukaku is not Giroud. Lukaku's best trait is not as a target man that receives long balls from the wings. That's not what he does. Lukaku likes to be played off the shoulder, in between the center backs and the fullbacks, or he likes to open up wide and then cut inside on a diagonal to the near post. And Tuchel is not playing him like that. Yes, they've suffered injuries. They've lost their wing backs. They lost their center mids for a while. When they lost their center mids, they had wing backs though, and you could have played a different game style by dragging Lukaku out and combining with the wing backs. He didn't do that. Now that they lost the wing backs, you can bring the game centrally and play through Kovacic and play through Mount, but he's not doing that. Instead, he's playing fucking Pulisic and Ziyech. That all they do is dribble and shoot. So for me, it's on Tuchel, man. Tuchel needs to get his head out of the dirt.
There's one more question.
Sorry, I didn't mean to rant there.
No, you're fine. I quite like it. I like listening to you rant. Normally, it's me ranting.
That's true.
But I have to say, I'm all very negative about Chelsea at the moment. I have to say, by what I've seen of them, the body language is poor. The whole thing's just poor, right? I know they're missing. I mean, for obviously, two of the best assets in Chelsea are obviously missing from the perspective of FPL as well, in James and Chilwell, right? Which doesn't help. Mm-hmm. Doesn't help the interest. Here's a question, Gabe. If you could force me to read a book, what would it be?
That's a good question. So many are running through my head right now. Can I list? Can I have a list? Or can I have to choose one? I have to choose one, right?
Just think of one.
No, I can't say that one. All right, here's the one that came to mind. I got two that came to mind, and they're both kind of fucked up.
Oh, it's not 50 Shades of Grey or something like that, is it?
No, it's not that bad. One is a book by Fyodor Dostoevsky called The Idiot.
Fuck off.
So this book is about 1,000 pages. It's called The Idiot. Just to get Mariner's going down, his chair's collapsing again. So he
and you what? An idiot? Okay, I'm nice to you.
It's a funny book. That's why it's a funny book. there's a scene where they're in a train. This guy's in a train and with a woman. The woman has a pet, and in the train there are no pets allowed and no smoking. And the guy lights up a cigarette. And the woman looks at him, horrified, grabs a cigarette and throws it out the window. So the guy looks at her, grabs her dog and throws it out the window.
I don't do things like that.
No, but you would find that funny, I think.
I would find it funny.
Yeah. The other book I think that I would make you read is Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas by Hunter S. Thompson. Because it's such a mindfuck. It would blow your mind. It would just blow your mind.
At the moment, I'm still struggling with my setup here. Do you know what I've got? My book here at the moment is a Sachin Tendulkar cricket book.
You use it because it has a hardcover. It's thick enough to prop up your mic.
The other one is a Stuart Broad cricket book. There we go. That's what I read.
Those books have never been opened, Mariner. Those books have never been opened.
I've read them. I've just read them particularly carefully.
Okay.
But on that note, we'll get back out of here.
I'm a teacher. I always know when a student has read or hasn't read a book, Mariner.
I did read it, honestly. I have read them.
You read the PDF.
I've got a bookshelf of books over there. I've got a bookshelf of books. shelf. And a game which is called I'm With This Idiot as well. There we go.
Ah, see? The idiot. See, you're already in that
thing. Appropriate. Anyway, right, let's get out of here. And now that whole book club incoming. Maybe we might write a book about this blasted show one day. Who knows? That'll be bloody disaster. We'll have to get Matt in to help us.
Yeah.
Or someone like that. So anyway, guys, right, let's get out of here. If you haven't already hit the like button, please do, as we keep begging you to, because we do want to grow this channel, and we are up against some rather big beasts in the FPL community. But little old Net That Hall, continue to what's the word I'm looking for?
Persevere.
Continue to bumble along. Entertaining you as we go, and hopefully, I've got to finish high up now, haven't I? So there we go. But no, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, guys. And well, what else can we say? If anything changes, we'll put it on Twitter with respect to the numbers. Gabe, thank you very much.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you, everyone in the chat. It was fun. I had a good time.
It was good. Yeah, it was good. And any comments or questions? Leave them in the chat, and we'll see you real soon. Look after yourself, Hollers. Take care. Bye-bye.
Good luck in 23.
Yes. Bye-bye.